I'd like for us to study this lesson this morning, because I think that this is the key. And like I say, the Apostle Paul mentions and he talks about those that are rich, you know, and the temptations that they fall into. But also in this lesson, it's not necessarily having riches, you know, it's the desire of it. He says the love of money is the root of all evil. So we don't have to have it. But it's the love that we have for these things in this world. And so the focus is going to be not, and I'll go ahead and tell you what I guess the conclusion of the lesson is. It's not the physical, but it's the spiritual part of it. Yes, do we need money to survive? Do we need to have a job? Do we need all these things to survive? Yes, we do. We have to get up in the morning, for those of us that still work, you know, have to get up in the morning and go to work, you know, because we have to provide for a family. That's not what Timothy, that's not what God is saying, you know, but he's telling us to be content, be happy. And I'll just also say this, you know, for people, and we mostly see it with those that we see TV, you know, these personalities. They're the richest people on this earth. But do they have happiness? Are they content with what they have? So see, this is what the lesson is about. This is what I'd like for us to understand. And we need to apply this to our lives, because we need to learn to be content. And this is what the Apostle Paul says here, is that, you know, he says that he learned to be happy. Okay? And so let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we'll begin. Let's begin with verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. And this is what the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy to do, to teach these brethren to do this. And he's talking about the master and the servant. The only difference between the master and the servant now is what the Apostle Paul is explaining here is that they're both now believers. They're both Christian. So not just because he's the master, he's going to, let's say, mistreat the servant, but they're equal in God's eyes. And so he says, just because you're brethren in Christ and you're still the servant, you have to be faithful to your master. Master, you know, you need to learn how to treat your servants. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Okay, let's continue. Verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud. He's talking about those that refuse to listen. He says, these men are proud. These people are proud. Verse 4, he is proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questions and strives of words, whereof cometh envy, strives, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputing of men, of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw thyself. Let's focus on this word here in verse 4 or verse 5. Because I think that this is how the world thinks. We think that, and this is what the Apostle Paul here is saying, we think that gain is godliness. Do we understand what that means? What's he saying? Is gain godliness? Just because, let's say, we do have money, we do have possessions, that does that mean that we're godly people before God? No, that's what the Apostle Paul here is saying. Because he's putting the focus on what? On the spiritual. Okay, he wants to focus on the spiritual side. But we as human beings, and God, from the beginning, he tells one of the Ten Commandments is not to be covetous. So not to want what your neighbor has, whether it be his house and his house, his wife, his livestock, you know. So he's saying that it doesn't necessarily mean that gain is godliness. Just because your neighbor has possessions, physical possessions, doesn't mean that they are godly. Because that's not what makes us a godly person before God. Yes, sir, Brother Mingo. Yes, sir. And I believe that that's the same kind of mindset that we have nowadays, don't we? Yeah, we do. I mean, don't deny it, you know, because we do. We see, you know. But once again, we cannot focus our minds on the physical, but it has to be on the spiritual side. Yes, ma'am. Jamie? Yes. And so what makes us rich before God? Is it our belongings, our physical belongings? What makes us rich before God? Can I be poor but yet be rich spiritually?
Yes.
That's what God is wanting us to realize or to understand. That we can be the poorest person on earth, but we're the happiest person because we have what? We have God. We have salvation in our lives. So weigh the options. Weigh the physical with the spiritual. What's going to happen with the physical? Yeah. Whatever you have left behind, and the Apostle Paul tells us here in Timothy, he says, you know, you're not taking it with you. You know, and I've said this before. How many times have we seen a hearse with the luggage rack? We don't. Why? Because you're not taking anything with you, anything physical. The only thing we can take is what we worked for spiritually. That makes us the richest person or the richest people on this earth before God. And that's the focus of this lesson. So again, here in verse 5, it doesn't necessarily mean that gain is godliness, but the Apostle Paul turns it around. He says in verse 6, he said, but godliness, what does he say? Godliness with contentment is great gain. So the Apostle Paul says, okay, he says, so these two words, okay, have to go together. Godliness and contentment have to go together.
One of the keys to that is back in verse 5 is the word suppose.
Okay.
That's not sure who you are and where you are.
Mm-hmm. That's because we're supposing that because we have the material things in this world, we're supposing, okay, it's godliness. But it's really not. If we read Matthew chapter 6, what does it talk about? That to make what? If your treasures, make treasures where? In heaven, not on this earth. And so going back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. So the Apostle Paul says here, godliness, and I think this is the key to this lesson, godliness with contentment. Because physically, we're never going to be happy. Are we? There's always something, you know, going on in our lives. We're never going to be happy. But if we're looking for the spiritual, we're looking for the godly, then we learn. And this is what we said earlier. This is what the Apostle Paul says. We learn to be content. Now, according to the comments that were made earlier, if it was up to the physical, because we see that Abraham was blessed, wasn't he? He had plenty of cattle, plenty of servants. We see the one Brother Mingo mentioned, Job. There we go. You know, even though he was devastated, he lost his family, he lost his livestock, God blessed him physically. Yes, sir.
And what you said is very important, brother, that we have to learn. That's what Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 says. It says, not that I speak from need, for I have learned to be content with whatever circumstances I am. So we have to learn to live according to the will of the Lord and Savior. We have to grow right there. I mean, somebody else might have more. God bless them. But it's our attitude that we have to learn to do, to be grateful with God with what we have. Whatever we have, be grateful.
Amen. And so we see, and that was going to be one of the verses that I had written down. Thank you, Brother Joel. But we see that the Apostle Paul, just look at his life. You know, he had everything at his hand before he became a Christian, before he obeyed the gospel. He had everything. If you read Acts, you read the account in Acts chapter 6, 7, 8. When Stephen was stoned, who was there? Saul. Paul was there. But then we see that he obeyed the gospel. And this is what Brother Joe is saying. So he's known, he's learned to have, and he's learned not to have. if we understand my term. But again, I think that the key word here is contentment, to be content. Because going back to what we said earlier, we're never going to be happy. Now, how does the world look for peace in this world? In worldly gains.
They think the more we have, the better off we are, but we're not really.
So how do we find peace, that peace with God? The peace that passes all understanding. We find it in God. And so we have to learn to be content, is what the Apostle Paul is saying here. It's not what I need, it's not what I want, but be content. Be happy in the state that you're in. You know, as a young man growing up, I worried. I said, man, I'm not married, you know, what's going to happen to me? And then I said, okay, I finally got married, Tora and I. And I said, okay, now, you know, I'm married. How am I going to support? So there's another issue there. And then Isabel came along a year later, and then Gabby and AJ. I remember I had, at one time I had two jobs. And I figured, I was thinking physically, because I figured, okay, two jobs, that means what? That means two checks coming in to the household. But that wasn't necessarily true. Because, yes, two jobs, two paychecks, but you spend more, you're not happy. I'll tell you that. You won't have enough. So I learned early to focus on God, and not necessarily on worrying about the physical. Because what does Matthew tell us? What does Jesus tell us about us and our needs? That he will what?
Supply.
He will provide. Do we have confidence in those words?
Yes.
That he will provide? Sometimes by our actions we don't. But let's go back to our lesson. Verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So we see here how the Apostle Paul says, no, it's not because you have great gain that you're being blessed by God, but it's because your godliness and your content, that's great gain. Because even though we don't have the things that we want physically, but like we said earlier, spiritually, we're the richest man in this world. So he says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. So we see here how the focus is not on the physical. It's not on what we've gained in this world. Because according to the Apostle Paul, he says, we're not taking anything with us. I'd like for us to look at a couple examples. Let's go to Luke and save this spot here because we're coming back to 1 Timothy. Luke chapter 12. Let's read. I've got 18 through 20. Let's begin with verse 13. Because I think that as Jesus speaks to them here, they miss the point. Okay? In these first couple of verses that we're going to read, these people don't, you know, the person that asked the question, he doesn't know what he's asking, you know. He misses the point of what Jesus is trying to teach. So Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Isn't this what we're talking about here? This is what Jesus is saying. It's not about what you possess physically. And he spake a parable to them, saying, let's talk about these first verses. So this gentleman is telling Jesus, he says, hey, you know, tell my brother, because I want my inheritance. And what is Jesus, what is his answer to this man? I'm sorry?
Who is he to decide?
Okay. So, but what is he really saying? Because, I mean, he's Jesus. He's the Son of God. Would he be able to divide?
I'm not here to judge. That's what he's telling me.
Okay. So he misses the point because the focus isn't on the physical. It's not on the material side. Jesus says, hey, I'm not here to divide your belongings between you and your brother. What was his purpose here on earth?
Salvation.
To seek and save the lost. That was his purpose. And this guy misses it. He says, no, I said, tell my brother to divide his belongings. How many times have we gone through that to where, you know, we fight for earthly belongings? We want it rightly divided, but it's not about the physical. This is what Jesus says. So let's go into the parable that Jesus talks about here. And what is a parable? It's a physical example that has what? A spiritual meaning. So keep this in mind. So this is the parable that Jesus is saying here, verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will put down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. So where is his heart, this man's heart, where is it?
Personal gain.
On the physical gain. He's thinking physically. He's thinking, okay, man, I've had so much. I've got to tear down the barns that I have now and build bigger barns. And then he's going to say, now I can sit back and relax and take it easy. How many of us have that mindset? So this is the parable that Jesus is saying. And let's continue. Verse 19, and I will say unto my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. So he says, I've made it. I've had everything I need, you know. I'm a happy camper. Sit back and relax. Verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. So what did Paul tell us in Timothy? He says, for we brought nothing into this world, and certainly we can carry nothing out. What is Jesus teaching us with this parable? It's something physical, but it's got a spiritual meaning.
The more you focus on what's here, the less you have on the spiritual side.
Okay. And I think he answers it with verse 21. He says, so is he that layeth up treasures for himself is not rich towards God. This is where his mindset was on the earthly things. Yes, sir. Adam.
In another verse, he says, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. So,
Matthew, yes, sir. Okay. And the question we asked earlier, we have to outweigh the physical with the spiritual. Which one is greater? Which one is better?
Spiritual.
The spiritual. Why?
Everlasting.
Because it's everlasting. Because it's life after what? After death. Our physical ends when our life on this earth ends. But the spiritual blessing continues. Yes, sir.
There's nothing wrong, like you said a while ago, when the Lord blesses you with physical treasures. It's what you do with those physical treasures that will determine your salvation or not. Because if the Lord blesses you and with that, those blessings, you bless other people, other friends, other people that are in need. That the Lord will bless you more, so you can continue doing the spiritual blessings. See, it works together. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So what Brother Joe is saying, it's not a sin to be rich, is it? Where does the problem start? What we read in 1 Timothy, what we say, the love of money is the root of all evil. Because that's what we're chasing, really. That's really what we're chasing. And like I said, even if we had, all the riches in the world, we wouldn't be happy. We see, give me just a minute, Brother Joe. We see, and I've seen this, the curse of the lottery. People that had never had money, they become millionaires overnight. Just imagine yourself, having all this money. What problems does that bring? What issues does it bring to your life? Does it bring happiness? What's it going to bring? You're going to have to worry. Now you're not going to sleep because you're going to be like this, holding on and making sure that nobody takes that money. And the reason I say that is because when you have it, someone else also wants it from you, don't they? So we won't sleep, and it brings about problems in our lives. And we'll read this in Timothy. But the love of money is the root of all evil. But going back to what Jesus says, so we see where this, in the parable where his heart is, it's not in the spiritual, but it's in the physical. And I'd like for us to turn now to Mark chapter 8. I'm sorry, Brother Joe, you had a comment. Mark chapter 8. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's Mark chapter 8. So let's Mark chapter 8. I wanted us to read this because he poses two questions here. Jesus poses two questions. He says, what will you give for your soul? Let's say we're standing before, it's judgment day, we're standing before God. What do we have to give for your soul? Are you going to give the physical? Are you going to say, hey, I've acquired all this money? No. So that's one of the questions that is posed here. So let's go ahead and read Mark chapter 8. Let's begin with verse 32. And we'll read through 38. But when he had turned about and looked on, and he spake the saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Talking about Jesus. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." Verse 34, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." Verse 36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? This is the first question that Jesus is posing before us. He says, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world? Let's say we're out looking for the physical and we've gained everything in this world. What can you give for your soul? So he's comparing the physical with the spiritual. What are you going to give for your soul? So, and I love this because it makes us think about our soul and our lives and the direction that we're going. The importance of obeying God's word and preparing our souls for life after death. But he says here, he says, so what will it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Nothing. Verse 37, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What can you give? Do we have an answer? What can we give for our soul? When we're standing before God, okay, God, this is what I have to offer you for my soul. Can I come in? Is God going to accept that? How do we prepare our souls for eternity with God? This is, I think, what we need to think about is preparing our souls for life after death. Yes, we do have to work. Yes, we do have to, you know, live in this world and provide and do all these things. But it's not the first thing in our lives. Godliness with contentment is what? Great gain is what the Apostle Paul is telling us in Timothy. So these are two great questions that are posed by Jesus Christ here. Verse 38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous, sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Let's go ahead and turn to 1 Timothy. Because this was kind of the last verse. This were my closing comments. 1 Timothy, I'm sorry, Philippians chapter 4. And this is the Apostle Paul. Now, earlier we were talking about Apostle Paul, and if you think about his life, he was a bad person. He was putting those believers of Christ, he was putting them in jail, and he was causing havoc, according to the book of Acts. He was causing havoc, but then he obeyed the gospel, and because of the obedience of the gospel, now he says, he gets to the point where he says these words here, He says that he's able to, you know, he knows what it is to be abased. And he knows what it is to have plenty. But he says that he learned to be content. So let's read that really quick. Philippians chapter 4. Let's read verses 13 through 8. I'm sorry, 8 through 13. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think of on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Now, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state. This is the Apostle Paul speaking about himself. He says, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So where does he put the importance? In the physical? No, he says, hey, I'm content with what I have. I'm content in the position, or if I'm hungry, I'm happy. If I have plenty, I'm still happy. I'm content. And not happiness and contentment aren't necessarily the same words, even though I'm using it, but contentment, you know, has a little bit deeper meaning. And it's something that we have to learn to be, or learn to do, is to be content. Because if we don't find contentment in God through His Son Jesus Christ, then we don't have peace in our lives. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying. Let's go back to 1 Timothy, because we're down to about 3 minutes. Okay, so verse 10 says, chapter 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 10, and we didn't read this verse, but we talked about it. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, man of God, this is what God is wanting us to look for, to follow after. He says, "You man, if you're a man of God, do these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Now, the last verses I want to read is verses 17 through 19, because he directly speaks to those that are rich physically. Verse 17, he says, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store." Listen to this. This is what we've been talking about through the whole lesson. Verse 19, "laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on" what? "On eternal life." So we see here what the Apostle Paul is telling us. Contentment is great gain. Or godliness, contentment is great gain. But it has to be in God, not in the worldly things. So that's the lesson for this morning. Thank you for your attention.